Good morning. This scripture reading for this morning is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word.
Well, welcome to our missions conference for 2020. A little different this year than years past. No international dinner, but Lord willing, we'll be back to all of that next year. We are very blessed to have John Wang as our missions conference speaker this year. Many of you know Pastor John. He was a pastor here for 16 years. He left in 2018 to go with an organization called Go International, where he serves as the international deputy director. And next year, he will become the director of this organization. John's wife, Fanny, cannot be here today. She's with her parents. But we do invite you to welcome Pastor John as our speaker this year. John.
Good morning, First Baptist Church of Flushing. Thank you very much for having me here to celebrate and to worship together with you. And also, I want to thank the church for the financial support that has been helping us to do missionary work, and also the prayers of many of you that have been during those past 2 years in support of our efforts in missionary work. It's really a pleasure to be here this morning to worship with you together. Since my last time preaching at the English congregation early this year, I think things have changed quite a bit because of the pandemic. As a country, this year has not been a peaceful year. Not only have we lost many lives under COVID-19 outbreak, but a lot of areas of weaknesses in our society also surfaced because of the pandemic. You can put the PowerPoint, the first page. Problems on race, personal right, common good, supply chain, and law enforcement, public health, they were all amplified during these past few months of chaos. Christian churches are also facing tremendous challenges under a society where isolation, quarantine, and social distancing have become the norm. Christian mission also underwent some important changes due to the pandemic. Because of the limitations of air transportation, short-term missions in the past 6 months was practically zero. There's no short-term mission efforts in this world. Missionaries are also stuck without being able to travel between the mission field and their home country. These days are the typical season where missionaries prepare their budget for the next year. And it is an extremely difficult task given the uncertainty of when air transportation and societies in different countries would be opened. I was just sharing with Pastor Gary about difficulty that I was facing in preparing my budget for next year. So this is a challenge for the missionary community. We're certainly operating missionary work under a lot of limitations. However, by closely examining the conditions in each country, I am also certain that the new opportunities are rising these days. Missiologists, they have been talking for years about the global nature of missions, global and local, nature of mission, and people are used to the idea in the past that the Christian mission is a business of sending missionaries. A Christian mission is actually a sending operation. Churches gather together both financial resources and human resources and then give them to the mission agencies. These agencies, in turn, through their expertise in cross-cultural communication, cross-cultural ministries, and experience in international collaboration with national churches, they do most of the work of sending, of supervising, and caring of the missionaries. But with such a model, the churches are limited in its domestic arena. Churches, we're supposed to do things in our own neighborhood, and the agencies, the mission agencies, are more involved overseas. Mission, for a lot of us, is a global ministry, is a ministry overseas. When global migration became a sizable and also visible reality in our societies, the idea of a diaspora missiology was developed in order to take advantage of this God-given opportunity. Now the world has come to our neighborhood, so we can do mission locally. Local churches are encouraged to reach out to different immigrant groups, even with different languages. And First Baptist of Flushing, has been a pioneer in such an effort, because we started our initiatives to the diaspora communities of the Chinese immigrants and the Hispanic immigrants as early as 1965. In addition, the popularity of short-term mission, although criticized by many as not being really effective in the mission field, has become an effective way for local churches to consider itself be personally involved in global mission. Therefore, mission is no longer a global or foreign task. It is also a local issue, local endeavor, and this is when the term GLOCAL starts to appear in the mission circle. Today, under the pandemic, and with the creativity of the churches, there is a real opportunity for the Christians to explore the GLOCAL nature of mission, the GLOCAL nature of a local church ministry, and the GLOCAL nature of the work of discipleship. And this is the task that we will be exploring this morning. The second slide, please. So, but first, we just want to review a little bit the Great Commissions. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I think now members of First Baptist Church were pretty clear about the meaning of these three verses. In general, we understand that this is not only a command for world evangelization, but rather it is a command for all Christians to be involved or engaged in the task of making disciples. The understanding is that in the original language, there is only one main verb, which is make disciples. But in the English language, we have other verbal expressions like go, like baptizing, and teaching. In reality, the Great Commission should be understood as a command to make disciples. And these additional verbs or verbal expressions of going, baptizing, and teaching are actually expressed in participles, describing what making disciple consists of. We make disciples by going, by baptizing, and also by teaching. The next slide. The understanding is that our main task is to make disciples to all nations. But the way to fulfill the responsibility is by going, which includes the movement of people and resources. But it also involves the task of baptizing, which means the task of incorporating people to the local churches. And the task of teaching implies the instruction about God, about our faith, about Jesus Christ, and how we should live as people of God. So through the movement of people and resources, we are involved in the going. Through the incorporation of men and women into the life of worship and ministry of the local church, we are involved in the baptizing. And through the instruction of Jesus Christ's teaching and their practice of obedience, we are involved in the teaching. But because of the pandemic, we see limitations in our task of going, of baptizing, and teaching. Fortunately, we also see opportunities in these areas. So let's take a closer look at the limitations and opportunities in these areas. The next slide, please. We talk about limitations in movement. One of the most common observations during this pandemic is the idea of not being able to travel. During the pandemic, many missionaries, they're stuck in their mission field. They cannot move around, and some of them feel frustrated about not being effective as before. For missions administrators like me, my last trip to South America before the pandemic was in early March. But since then, all trips were canceled. The whole missions community suffered severe limitations of in movement. It is not only due to the medical condition of COVID-19, but also caused by the drastic reduction of available flights, quarantine requirements in different countries, close down of airports, cities, and even nations, and all kinds of additional requirements to limit and control the flow of people. Now, after 6 months of pandemic, we still see a great deal of limitations of movement on a global scale. There are improvements, however. We have missionaries already from GOI. We have missionaries who started flying and certainly had to go through the required 14 days of quarantine in different countries in order to continue their ministry in the mission field. We also see on a regional scale or local scale, there are signs of opening for movements. Like in New York, New York City, our city is slowly opening up and activities are slowly restored. Although we foresee that the short-term mission trips will not probably pick up until sometime later next year, missionaries will soon be able to travel once the vaccine are available. At GOI, we have instructed our missionaries to include COVID-19 related costs when they prepare the budget for next year. But the understanding is that they will be traveling next year, just more costly and with higher health risk. And these are the price that we need to pay in order to do God's work these days. While people's movement is severely limited during the pandemic, the flow of money actually continues. Thanks to globalization, it is much easier now these days to transfer funds today than 20 or 30 years ago. Missionaries cannot physically support the national churches in the field during the pandemic. But financial resources, however, can continue to flow, to be sent. So yes, there are limitations to the flow of flow of human resources, but financial resources continue as usual. And we know that people can no longer travel that easily, but money continues to move like in the past. But what about knowledge and information? With the use of social media and tools like video conferencing, communication of ideas is not limited by COVID-19. In fact, the quick adaptation of human behavior and the use of these tools are narrowing the distance between the supporting churches and the national churches. In the past, we might depend on a limited amount of people, like the missionaries or like the national leaders, who stand between the two sides to do the communication. But today the channel is much more direct and frequent. The communication and contribution tended to be of only one direction in the past, from the supporting churches to the national churches. But today the internet and all these communication tools have flattened the playground. So not only supporting churches or the sending churches would provide teaching to the national churches. Leaders and pastors of the national churches in the mission field, they can also, on the reverse direction, provide teaching and provide special insights to the sending churches as well. The communication and contribution can also be initiated by them toward the supporting churches or even to the mission agencies. I think Thomas Friedman, when he said that the world was flat, I understand that right now, under the pandemic, the world is even flatter. We are now witnessing, actually, a mission that is truly from everywhere to everywhere. So what is GLOCAL? What is the GLOCAL perspective of mission? Christian church and missionary agencies that we have traditionally been so occupied with the idea of the movement of missionaries, we tell people to think mission as a global activity, as an overseas activity. Concerning local aspect of mission, we now have some improvements. Yes, with short-term mission movements, although the effectiveness is heavily debated. But today, with the technological advancement that offers us the tools, and with the pandemic, which accelerated the use of these tools, we see a rise of direct local church involvement of mission, both overseas and locally. And even we can start from local in order to reach out to the global. This pandemic offers us a more realistic view of the global aspect of mission. The next slide, please. What about incorporation to the local church? The pandemic obviously impacted our way to worship. The limitations imposed by the governments for indoor gathering and the threat of a disease transmission forced the church to, including our church, First Baptist of Flushing, to worship online. The challenges many of our traditional view on the idea of church and worship is that in the past we feel like worship has to be within the confines of a building. But because we're forced not being able to do so, we do it online. So by now, I hope most of the Christians understand that church is the people in assembly, not people in a building. Church is people in assembly, not people in a building. The assembly does not need to happen in a specific building. The online service creates an online worship community. And this limitation to worship in a physical location helps us re-examine our understanding of church. As our city is gradually returning to the way that it is used to be, a lot of people start asking the question whether the alternative ways of conducting our lives would die down. While returning to physical worship service, people wonder whether online service would continue, not only next year, but in the future years. It seems like a lot of these new developments under the pandemic would continue in the future. Efforts are not only directed towards returning to the old way, but also on how to incorporate these new developments into our old ways of doing things. So it is very possible that in the future, church worship would have a physical service plus an online transmission. Mission is the same. When the pandemic is over, we will not stop using video conferencing tools, but rather we would find ways to incorporate these new tools into our task of missionary work. At GOI, we see the future missionary work as a military battle with three branches. The missionaries and the regional and the national leaders or the national churches are like the army. They are stationed in the front line, engaging in the battle. The short-term mission and the visiting pastors are like the Navy that provides timely support to the Army in the battleground. And then now, these days, at GOI, we are currently organizing an internet ministry team to provide support from the air, pretty much like the Air Force. So our ministry success will depend on the combination of all these three branches. And that will be the future of missionary work. New understanding of the local church. So we say, well, yes, returning to the topic of the local church, the pandemic and the reality of online service help us clarify some of the new understanding of the local church. For people living outside of our neighborhood in Flushing, attending our online services, are they considered part of our local church? How big is our church these days? How can we claim the extent or the scope of our church ministry? Are they only in Flushing? Are we only in Flushing? But we have, in the past, we have members who lived on Long Island or in New Jersey. If they commuted to our Sunday service in the past, they were considered part of our church family. But what about sometimes someone now these days living in Nairobi or Jakarta, attending our online service every Sunday? Can they still be considered part of FBC? They're certainly connected the same way as you were connected during the height of the pandemic, where you were staying home and watched the online service. So are they part of First Baptist? We can possibly have a local church with a global scope. And I think this is a new territory in our ecclesiology. In the past, we understand a certain way, but now the technology has allowed us to extend, and we need to have a reread of how the church is operated and how a local church is defined. From here, we can probably have a glimpse of the global nature of the 21st century Christian church. The next slide, please. Talking about teaching, limitations in teaching and training. You know, these days, we're having some public debates on whether the students should go back to school or whether the schools should be closed because of the pandemic, at least this semester. If learning only consists of transmission of knowledge, content, then online learning is no different from going to school. However, most people in education consider that the missing piece of online learning is the interaction with the teachers and fellow students. Because learning is not only cognitive, only about the content, but rather learning is an experience. Learning is experiential. And that is why in Christian circle, there are always voices that suggest the process of discipleship should be more like the experience of an apprentice. Learning is not merely a matter of information, but rather a matter of formation. We're not talking about imparting information to other people only. Information we can get online, we can get everywhere, but that's the formation of a candidate. Disciples are formed, and teaching implies forming. The recent popularity of the idea of mentoring also responds to the understanding. Only the pandemic accelerated the advancement of this notion. So the preparation of a missionary candidate often requires work in four areas. How do we prepare a missionary? How do we prepare a candidate to become a missionary? Well, these are the four areas: spiritual, biblical theological, practical, and social. They need to maintain a vital spiritual walk with God. And this can be acquired through spiritual disciplines. The practice of spiritual disciplines helps them to get closer to God. They also need to receive biblical and theological training. And this can be done through a seminary program or other intensive training or modular training, whatever. The third area is the practical side of ministry. The candidate must know how to do ministry. And so I think the church can be the perfect environment for that preparation. And the last one is the social aspect of preparation, which requires interaction with people. A lot of people who wants to become a missionary, they have a relationship with God. They have knowledge of Bible and theology. They also know how to do things, but they don't know how to interact with other people. So the social part of this of the preparation is also important for the preparation of a candidate, missionary candidate. Now these days actually we can stay home and find all the lessons, all the teachings related to these four areas on the internet. Because you can, for example, some seminaries or churches or institutions or even individuals, they have uploaded their instructional videos on topics of spiritual formation, on topic of Bible, on topic of theology, on topic of practical ministries, and on topic of social interactions and even social competence on the World Wide Web. However, also shows an even more urgent need of individual and contextualized mentoring. Several months ago, I was attending a talk of the Latin American Theological Fellowship, and they were talking about that was the height of the pandemic, and they were asking all these type of different questions about how to conduct ministry during that period of time. And then suddenly there's a lady in Peru. She said, "May I ask a question?" She said, "Now these days, in the past, I saw a teaching or videos about all these, you know, these theological and biblical trainings on the internet, published by seminaries and all other institutions. But they all charge a lot of money. But during pandemic, they're all free. It seems like they're putting all these, uploading all these things in competition in order for us to receive instructions on all these materials." So she said, "Do I still need to go to seminary if I can get every subject on the internet?" And so they had all this debate on, you know, whether the seminary was necessary for the during the pandemic or in the future. But in the meantime, I started thinking, yes, it's true. We can get all these instructions from the internet, from YouTube, from all these instructions. But then we still need wisdom. We still need the mentoring and a more contextualized mentoring for the individual who are accessing the teaching content, teaching materials on the internet. So that is why today's discipleship should include lessons from all over the world. On the internet, yeah, you have access to a lot of materials, so we can say this is from the so-called global church. But the mentoring, the mentor and the mentoring continue to come from the local church. So it's a combination, and it's this new role of the local church that provides mentors to all these candidates for them to become more effective and more suitable candidates for missionary work. Again, the pandemic helps us to have a global perspective of discipleship. We can see that all these different changes, they have started many years ago, but the pandemic accelerates these changes and shows that how much we can do in order to go into the next step. The next slide, please. Many years ago, when I was doing the interview for my dissertation, I learned a so-called prayer line. Maybe you have heard that. Prayer line from a pastor of an African immigrant church. He was telling me, he said he was using his cell phone to conduct prayer meetings. That was more than 10 years ago. He told me that he was able to receive prayer requests even from Africa. Remember that time when we're using the so-called conference call instead of video conference? Conference call is probably just almost a forgotten terms. The conference call. He was using the features for cell phone, the conference call features, to conduct prayer meetings during that period of time. So he said, yeah, I was able to reach out to Africa, to all other people in Europe, and they came with their prayer requests, and we can all pray through this telephone call. I also learned from another Chinese pastor in New York who would conduct telephone Bible studies for new immigrants who were, once members of his church in Chinatown. And they were members of the church, but then, they are now scattered in other cities of the country because of work. But they continue to get together with these conference calls for their Bible studies. So he was extending his ministries to different cities to members that are living in different cities. He was using these features of this conference call from his cell phone back then. And these things were happening more than 10 years ago. They were making a slow change in the way we conduct ministry. But the pandemic forced us to be more frequent and familiar users of these new technologies. And in other words, many of these changes, like the online service or direct local church involvement in mission, or even the use of the internet as air force for missionary work, we have already started using them many years ago. But it is the pandemic that accelerated these changes in our society. And with the coming of these changes, the local church has become an integral partner of mission. We now can directly involve in missionary work beyond the short-term missions. Currently, at this time, for example, our missionary in Mexico, he was teaming up with another local church in California, and the church in California was helping the missionary to provide some of the discipleship training and instructional materials to the members that this missionary is working in Mexico City. So in this way, the local church is directly involved in mission. So mission in the past is pretty much like the bus. Now, it is transportation means that is handled by specialists, by a special licensed driver. In the case of mission, is by the professional career missionary. Later, the involvement became wider for those who are in the local church and interested in mission. In every church, right, we have a group of people, maybe sometimes very big, sometimes very small, but a group of people who are especially interested in mission. They're talking about mission all the time. They go to perspective class and they do all kinds of things, but they're that group in the church. And these are the people who actually engage in short-term missions and engage in the local street evangelism in a lot of things. So they created more access. So I think, for me, it's pretty much like the convenience of a taxi. But today, because of the pandemic, those changes that involve more of the local churches are pretty much, I think, like the convenience of an Uber, as compared to the taxi. It is not only convenient as a taxi, but also involves a massive participation of our membership. Mission can be massively applied, massively involved by our membership. Pretty much like Uber. Uber is not limited on those professional or those who drive just to make a living, but also for a lot of other people who are amateurs, but they're drivers, and it's a ride-sharing opportunity for them to be involved, in a service for taking people from one place to the other in the same city. So in our case, I think the pandemic enables church members to do mission without leaving your daily routine. And we can do it collectively as a church program to be involved in a much more intensive way than before. I think it is because of the pandemic and the accelerated changes today in missions, every church now we can fully involved in missionary work. And so I think churches can really identify it with the famous saying of John Wesley, the world is my parish now these days. It's not an issue. Mission is not for a minority that would go out and do work overseas outside of our neighborhood, but it's something that we can engage locally and we can engage massively from our church. I pray that the Lord will continue to guide First Baptist so we become an integral part of this missionary movement in the 21st century.